Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today, believe it or not, is Tuesday. It is the 6th of October. This is 2020. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, once again, I have John Martellaro. Hi, John.
Hey, ask me what's new.
Hey, John, what's new?
C over lambda, and we'll get to that later.
That's a math
geek joke.
Also,
that's a geek joke.
Also with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian. I thought I did. Word on the street is I have Brian Chaffin with me on the show today.
Did that just happen? Was that like a... Did John just say those... Yeah. Hey, Kelly, good to be here.
Okay.
Thanks for having us.
Brian was just incapacitated by the weapons-grade joke John dropped on us a minute ago.
Yes, I was awesomified.
I get it. The first thing we want to talk about today is a piece we have over at MacObserver.com about Apple, and they've done a little bit of a hearing device shuffle with their current retail offerings, right, Brian?
Yeah, they stopped selling the third party speakers. And apparently, earphones and you know, various in-ear devices too. That includes Bose, Logitech's Ultimate Ears product line, as well as Sonos. Mm-hmm. And I know that Sonos's stock took a hit based on that news. And of course, the question is why. And that's probably related to the second half of the show, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. All of a sudden, Apple's not selling anything third party that you can use to listen to stuff. So your options are AirPods, AirPods Pro, Beats, and HomePods. I believe that covers it. The question here, of course, would be what would make that happen? And part of what would make that happen, we just discovered a little bit earlier today, just before the show started recording, we got the announcement from Apple that they're going to have an event. And the event is called Hi Speed, as in hello. And that's going...
Are we jumping right to that then?
I'm just saying that's what we have now is we got the announcement that the event is going to happen on October 13th at 10 a.m. So housekeeping note, next week when the show will be a little bit later because we will want to do this show after the Apple show that's happening when we're normally recording the podcast. So we will have more to talk about at that point, but we have a little bit of speculation to do on that as soon as I tell you a little bit about our sponsor this week. Our sponsor is Mint Mobile, and Mint Mobile has made it easier than ever to break up with your old wireless provider. They were the first company to sell their service online only, and now they've got an unlimited data plan that is $30 a month. That's unlimited talk, unlimited text, and unlimited data for $30 a month. So the only question you have right now is how much is your soon-to-be ex wireless provider charging you? If you want to cut ties, you can get that plan. It's online only, which means you just do everything through the website and they send everything to you in the mail. Everything comes with, like I said, talk and text and high-speed data. You can continue to use whatever phone you have, same apps, same contacts, all of that. And if you're not 100% satisfied, Mint Mobile has you totally covered with a 7-day money-back guarantee. So you can break up with whoever your provider is now. Head over to Mint Mobile and get unlimited data for $30 a month. You can do that by going to mintmobile.com/TDO. That's mintmobile.com/TDO. mintmobile.com/TDO. Head over there and start saving today. Now, we had the Apple event, and what we want to do is talk a little bit about that because, of course, we know they said that new iPhones would be coming in October. So we presume this is going to be the iPhone event, even though nothing about the invitation says that. John, we talked a little bit about this because you were pointing out that we've heard some things about what the new phones are going to look like and what they're going to contain.
We've heard a lot about the iPhone cases and about the cameras and other features of the phones. But one of the things that we've also heard is that Apple's going to roll out these 5G phones in two phases. The low-level phones, one of them is rumored to be called the Apple 12 Mini. Well, it'll be the non-Pro versions, the iPhone 12 and the iPhone 12 Mini. Right away, or soon after the announcement, maybe shipping maybe the 20th. Mm-hmm. And then later, the Pro-level phones, the Pro and the Pro Max, won't ship until November. Okay. Now, what's interesting about that is that the other rumor that I've seen, it's pretty looking pretty solid, is that only the Pro versions will have the 5G millimeter wave, which is the very high speed, high band. So that brings up the issue of the bands in 5G, and there's three of them. There's low band, which is similar to 4G, but technically superior. A little bit faster in speed, but not a whole lot. 5G mid-band and 5G high-band, sometimes called millimeter wave, because at its highest level of performance, 5G has got wavelengths on the order of a millimeter, something like 30 gigahertz. Mm-hmm. The problem is that the millimeter wave, 30 gigahertz region, it goes like 24 to 40, is not very good at penetrating walls if you're talking about wavelengths of a few millimeters and leaves and telephone poles and houses and walls and buildings are not penetrated well by millimeter waves. And so they're being deployed in cities where there's plenty of opportunity for repeaters to amplify the signal and to work around corners and edges and deal with obstructions and so on. But if the carriers were to roll out 5G millimeter wave early, there'd be no end of problem because people would be unsatisfied with the range. And the so what they're doing instead is they're rolling out the low band first, like T-Mobile, which is something on the order of 600 megahertz. And 600 megahertz is a half a meter wavelength, which is about 20 inches. And think of a 20-inch wavelength skipping around leaves and trees and penetrating 10-centimeter walls. So that's a lower-cost system. It's not as high a performance, but it's got better range. And as Particle Debris pointed out on Friday, Gene Munster did a nice recap of the timing of these bands. So we're going to get 5G low band first in 2020. In 2022, they're going to roll out the mid-band, which is like 1 to 3 gigahertz, which is like 10 centimeters wavelength and something on the order of 250 megabits per download. And then in 2024 or 2025, we're going to get the millimeter wave. Millimeter wave antennas are tricky and hard to produce, and they need a lot of room and they need a lot of power.
Okay.
So you need a big phone with a big battery and a big antenna to deal with millimeter waves.
And also 5 years from now.
And roll out in widespread use, which means 70% penetration.
Okay.
So if you're all excited about getting an iPhone 5G, iPhone 12, with millimeter wave support, the high-end phone will have it for those people who need it in the cities.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be expensive and it's going to drain your battery and you probably won't get 5G millimeter wave very often in normal daily use.
Yeah.
You'll probably be stuck in the lower band. Nice thing about the low band is that it's a range of many, many kilometers. So it's good for suburban use, even rural use.
Yeah, it's cheaper for the carriers to roll out. I mean, one of the big issues that the U.S. faces in comparison to Europe and Asia and Japan, in particular, Japan, it turns out, is part of Asia, is the population density. And it's one reason why we have such slower broadband, and it's one reason why we've always lagged behind both of those areas in terms of wireless rollout. Mm-hmm. It's just more expensive. It's more expensive to cover the same number of people because we have so much more area to that needs to be covered.
And
that
so much more
means
land.
Towers. That means dishes. That means workmen, work people, even, et cetera.
Yeah. One of the key things that Gene points out is that the jump from 4G to 5G low band is a jump of an average download speed from 35 to 50 megabits per second. Mm-hmm. So if you're thinking that 5G is going to blow your socks off on a low-end iPhone 12, you're going to be mistaken. So take that into account when you make your buying decision. If you're in an inner city and you're a businessman and you expect to have access to the repeaters and high-speed office concepts and be in an area where AT&T and Verizon have advertised 5G millimeter wave, then you definitely want one of the high-end phones. But if you're just going to need a new phone, it's been 2 or 3 years since you bought a phone, and you don't think you're going to be able to exploit 5G for years, mm-hmm. then you could save a lot of money independent of the cameras and the other features on the high-end phones. And a standard iPhone 12 might be a better choice.
Okay. Yeah, I was kind of thinking that as well. Like, it, in practical terms, the thing that you should be upgrading to a new phone for, especially after talking to you about what, you know, what the practical applications of 5G are and how this is going to actually work, it doesn't seem like upgrading now for 5G is necessarily going to be the thing you want to do this time around. This sounds much more like an iPhone 13 or 14 thing if we've gotten rid of the S entirely, which it kind of seems like we have.
Well, Apple has to keep up with the Joneses and keep up with appearances.
For most people, like, you're not going to get the performance out of it that you want. So, you know, if the thing that you want to upgrade for is 5G, there's not a lot of 5G you can use right now anyway in real life. So it's going to be more of a 13 or a 14, which are going to have 5G
sure.
will make a difference, you know.
That's the interesting political angle that Brian was referring to in South Korea and Japan, where the population density is high. Samsung can properly exploit the 5G phone with millimeter wave and make a big thing about it. And for Apple to lag behind is going to be a difficult political thing to swallow, and people don't understand these bands very well. So,
well, hold on though.
Got to do it.
Samsung has the same issues in the States that Apple has in the States. Samsung's advantage there is in Europe and parts of Asia, and again, that comes down to the carriers and their costs versus the headset manufacturers like Apple and Samsung.
Sure, sure.
So, in the meanwhile, there was this speaker thing.
Yeah.
Right? So Apple made this move to kick speakers out of its stores, third-party speakers out of its stores, and then lo and behold, later that day announces an event. So, it would seem that Apple has some devices that compete with the things that they pulled out of their store that they're about to announce.
What kind of devices, pray tell, Brian?
Well, Commander Ichabod thinks that it is going to be perhaps smaller HomePod units. I don't really know why they pulled out Ultimate Ears. I mean, are they going to introduce yet another AirPod variety? That doesn't seem likely. You know, but surely something that competes more in, sorry about the noise, something that competes more with the Bluetooth speakers from Logitech, mm-hmm. Some kind of, you know, lower end HomePod, perhaps.
Maybe AirPods with color. You know, Apple had the white iPods for a long time, and then they started introducing colors into the iPods. Maybe they're going to introduce nice, shiny, metallic red and blue colors into the AirPods.
Well, they never did that with their EarPod lines. I mean, you know, we've gone, how long, 15 years now with white?
Yeah.
EarPods?
At least,
so,
yeah.
I mean, it could be. I mean, the color thing has always been solved by third parties with, you know, appliques and whatnot.
Yeah.
Just a guess.
Yeah. I don't know about color
that wouldn't be a
so much.
To pull out competing devices.
Yeah.
The introduction of colors.
Yeah.
Well, my theory, Brian, is that Apple had a meeting one day with some executives, and they got together and they said, what are our core issues and talents and product lines surrounding the phone and our other products. And if somebody said, well, you know, we really focus on audio. Our AirPods are taking off. We sell a lot of AirPods. The HomePod is a quality product. We're the audio company. We're the company you go to buy devices that fit on your head. You listen to things, especially since we're moving away from a port on the iPhone. We're going to be looking at more and more wireless stuff. And somebody said, oh, if we're the air, if we're the audio company selling audio products to our customers, we're the go-to company for audio products in your ear, and we've got new products coming out, why are we giving up shelf space to these sometime competitors?
Not everyone. Well, the answer heretofore has been,
think about like my argument.
he did. He thought it was nonsense. I'm not sure which.
Commander Ichabod could go either way.
Yeah, it's true with him. But the question is, John, is though that are they going to replace all those products with something? Like, are we about to see a slew of new speakers announced? And I mean, Sonos sort of competes with HomePod, but Sonos is doing a lot of things that Apple isn't. And mm-hmm. Ultimate Ears is definitely a different kind of competitor to AirPods, kind of filling a different niche. Yeah. And then there's the Bluetooth speaker stuff, and then, you know, some kind of low end home speaker device that is cheaper to sell than HomePod.
You're onto something there, Brian, because you know the HomePod has taken a hit. Not sold as well as the Amazon Echo and the other Google Home devices. It's just, you know, kind of a niche product because it's so expensive. So you can imagine that Apple would want to solve that problem by coming out with a more competitive HomePod. And maybe not.
Yeah, that is true.
Maybe a low end and a higher end with competes with Sonos.
That is. It could be.
I wonder.
It seems like Apple would have to introduce a whole lot of products to truly replace all of the things they just kicked out.
Yeah, there'd be a ton of stuff. The event would almost be, here's speakers, here's some other speakers, here's a different kind of speaker, here's some new headphones. Yeah, by the way, new phones, bye.
Like high sound instead of high speed.
Yeah.
The stuff that's going to take up the shelf space in the future may not be announced at the event on the 13th, though. We don't have to worry about the event getting bogged down in audio.
Well,
it's about the iPhone 12, period.
The thing, one would hope. I would like to think that perhaps there's a HomePod Mini coming down the pike. And part of the reason for that is because... like you, John, I feel like the HomePod was kind of positioned in a weird place. Like, it was supposed to be this amazing sound, and it costs more than kind of an impulse buy. And there's a whole lot of ground to cover. I know what they were doing was they were selling you a beautiful speaker that you could happen to talk to. Right, Brian? That's kind of what the HomePod was supposed to be.
Well, but HomePod is always, I've since HomePod was introduced, and I've got more of these things than you can shake a stick at in my house.
I know.
And it's kind of ridiculous. And I've long argued that Apple needs a low end, more input oriented device, mm-hmm. a la the Echo Dot.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. There's a huge gap between those two.
House.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is. Correct. And, I agree. I mean.
And so, you know, the point of having an Echo device is to be an Amazon thing that you can talk to. And, you know, an Amazon thing you can talk to that also happens to have a speaker so you can sometimes play stuff. And the HomePod is the opposite of that, which is a gorgeous, beautiful speaker that plays stuff that if you want to, you can talk to. And
gorgeous, beautiful speaker for your audio system, but you have to buy two of them to get stereo.
And I've already solved this problem. So there was never a place for me to put one of those in my house. Now, if you want to sell me the HomePod Dot, oh, yes, 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 please.
The HomePod SE.
Give me the HomePod SE, the HomePod Mini, the HomePod Air, whatever you want to call it. Give me something that's at least half the price of the ones that we've got now.
HomePod Air, you touched on something, Kelly, because air and sound go side by side.
They do. And
HomePod Air.
Give me the HomePod Air that's like $79, $99, you know, half the size of the HomePods we have now, so that it'll just sit in the corner and chill out and be cool. I know they're not that big, but if you made a smaller one, even, you know, there are even more places that Brian could find to stick them in his house.
They're expensive.
I know.
They're expensive for when Amazon is defining this market. HomePods are expensive, especially when there's nothing cheaper to augment them.
What do they sell for now? Isn't it something just under $500 each?
Oh, it's definitely under. It's way under that.
Is it 200? No, are they 200 now? 250?
There was some kind of way.
Only there are ways we could find out.
Well, we're basically done. Slowly. So, yeah.
I am looking. Buy HomePods.
So,
oh my God, it's taking so long. $299 still.
Oh, it is $299. Okay, $299, I need a $99 okay. HomePod Air. Is what I need.
HomePod Air. Yes.
And I need it
first, folks.
There you go. And it doesn't need to have all of the awesome stuff that the big HomePod has. I know I'm not getting that for a third the price.
Yeah, you won't get the sound. You won't get the sound, and that's fine.
But I mean,
the vast majority of speakers that are sold sound like crap.
Yes.
And I don't want Apple selling anything that sounds like crap.
No.
But it doesn't need to sound as good as the HomePod.
Right. There's a huge bunch of ground to cover. I mean, you know, the bulk of what a lot of people are listening to is audio from a phone speaker, audio from a tablet speaker, audio over Bluetooth to a car speaker. Sometimes car speakers are nicer. Sometimes they're not. So, you know, or radio through a speaker. Like, you know, radio doesn't always sound awesome. So, you know, there's a whole lot of room for Apple to sell $99 worth of speaker and have it sound pretty good and still make money on it, even though it's a $99 speaker. So that's a thing I would be very interested in. I guess we'll find out next week. So we will talk more about it then. Thank you both for being here. John, as always, thanks for coming by.
Nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
Brian, as always, it's been a pleasure having you and the Commander join me today.
Yes, Commander Ichabod's presence was... And thanks for having us, Kelly. Good to be here. Thanks for being on, for letting me be on the show.
Thanks for being on your show. Is that where you're headed?
Yes, apparently. I'm sorry about that.
That's okay.
I don't know where that came from. I'm being distracted. He's chewing on my... It's a thing. It's puppies.
Yeah. All right. Brian has to go for Commander-related issues, so that's going to do it for us today. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.